Nearly every one of us use a county road or highway every day, and surely we all use a highway that's been maintained by a county highway department. That's because local, county, and state roads are the lifeblood of our economy and a vital link for our citizens to get from point A to point B. This hour, we're talking about county highways and the unique nature of how Wisconsin uses our county highway departments to keep our state moving, right here on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me in studio for this hour's discussion is Dunn County Highway Commissioner Jesse Rintala. Jesse, good to have you back, man.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us in studio is Dan Federle, a former Highway Commissioner for St. Croix County and current Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highways Highway Association. Dan Federle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate the opportunity.
And joining us by phone from his office in Madison, I'd like to welcome Dan Barr. He's the Government Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. Dan Barr, thank you so much for taking the time.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks for having me on the program.
Good morning. Thank you. And listeners, we want to hear from you this hour. If you have a question or a comment related to county highways, state highways, maintenance, you name it, give us a call. The number is 1-800-228-5615. You can also post a question or a comment on our West Side Facebook page. So with that, I guess with any good northern Wisconsin conversation, we should start by talking about the weather. And Jesse Rintala, we seem to be having what I would call kind of a good old-fashioned winter, lots of snow, lots of cold. How does this impact your operations and your budget?
Yeah, it keeps our guys very busy this time of year. I think we had about 25 inches of snow in January, and we're probably out about 20 or so times plowing snow on the state and county highways. So it definitely keeps all of our crew really busy, and they're working hard. And and all that, I guess, time and effort does equate to dollars and impacts the budget significantly. You know, the month of January could well have cost on the county side alone, you know, close to $500,000. So that takes a good portion of our winter budget up, you know, just about half of it. So, and that's only the first month of 2014. So we got a long ways to go. So
yeah, I'm curious, what accounts for the biggest cost? Is it labor? Is it fuel? Or is it sand, salt?
It's actually a pretty good mixture of all. In Dunn County is a fairly rural county. On all but one of our patrol sections on our county roads, we're using a salt sand mixture, which has 5% salt mixed with sand. But still, that plus the equipment and the labor is to some degree almost a split three ways, kind of equally.
The sand salt mixture has got to be cheaper than the straight salt that they throw on the highways.
Yeah,
interstate.
Yeah, significantly less money for that, and obviously that, you know, it's not removing snow and ice necessarily. It's giving you some traction and grit when you're out there, and when the weather does warm up, it does, you know, help clear some of that off the roads as well.
So, in your position, do you have to wear the cap of meteorologist or weather predictor? I mean, how do you anticipate for things like this in your budget, or do you just kind of play catch up and then ask for more money in the next cycle?
You know, we try to look at things, you know, based on 5-year averages and those sorts of things, which, you know, we can be 1 year maybe over budgeting quite a bit, and then, you know, a year like this and last year as well, you know, it looks like we're going to be under budgeting, and trying to predict the weather is obviously a very, very difficult thing, especially, you know, for a season, and let alone, you know, day to day. You know, and when we're looking at the weather, and that obviously from very different or very many sources, trying to see when is it going to start snowing, when is it going to stop, when do we need to get guys out, and those sorts of things. So and we use Actually, there's probably a dozen different sources of weather type of information that we use that hopefully help us do a better job.
And about when to get guys out, I'm wondering. I know that the city, at least here in Eau Claire and other cities, have made some news by deciding, well, we're going to set the – there's a 3-inch rule or something, or we won't send out trucks until there's 3 inches of snow on the ground. Can you do that? Can counties do that same sort of a thing?
We in Dunn County there, you know, we don't do that. Our level of service in general, we're providing, you know, a 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. plus or minus type of service, depending on the conditions and the weather itself. So, you know, we don't have any policy like that at Dunn County. You know, we're also doing work for the state where, you know, Interstate obviously is a 24-hour service roadway where, you know, if it's snowing at any time of the day or night, weekend, whatever, holiday, we're out there taking care of that, along with the other state roads are generally 18-hour type of service roads.
Dan Federle, I saw that you were shaking your head, too, when I asked if counties could do the 3-inch rule, and why not?
In the counties, you'll find a completely different application in terms of winter maintenance and as it relates to cities. Primarily, you're as Jesse said, you're driven by the service levels. You're driven by the interstate. People are out there all the time, so you don't have the opportunity, or he doesn't have the opportunity in Dunn County, for example, to say, okay, we're going to set a certain 3-inch, 4-inch, 2-inch, whatever it is. And in fact, when you get out in the rural areas, not only is it not a matter of just simply snowfall, but in Dunn County, for example, again, he may be in full winter maintenance mode simply because you have winds and blowing snow mm-hmm. across the road, which can be as bad or even worse right. than just a snowstorm. So his activities are largely, as all the counties across the state, are largely driven by the service levels they need to meet.
How many miles do you have to deal with, Jesse?
On the county side of things, we've got 425 miles approximately. And, you know, between the state and the interstate, you know, we're maintaining those. You know, there's about 225 miles with obviously a chunk of interstate running right through the county. That's a vital part of it. We also do some work for a couple of the townships as well inside of Dunn County for as far as their winter maintenance and plowing and sanding and stuff. So we definitely keep real busy with that. And as Mr. Federle was saying, you know, the winds here recently, too, have caused a lot mm-hmm. of problems. You know, we can get a snowfall with 4 or 5 inches and it stops snowing and we get everything cleaned up and push back, and then the wind starts blowing, and it becomes a very costly thing to try to maintain a roadway with all the wind. And, you know, with the amount of snow we've received this winter in particular, you know, we're running out of room to, you know, to push that snow and to get it pushed far enough out where it's not obstructing, you know, view of at intersections and sight distance and encroaching on, you know, corners and areas where it's hard to get it pushed, you know, far enough out.
Are there, because in the city they can just scoop all that up, put it in a truck and they'll go dump it on some tract of land wherever, but... So does the county ever have to do that, or you just keep pushing it harder and harder
well,
into the ditch?
Well, no, we're at the point where, you know, we're out there with a loader and trucks, either with the loader moving it across to the other side of the road if there's room there in that ditch, or, you know, I guess worst case scenario, having to actually load it up and haul it away somewhere. So, yeah, that's now become a part of this winter's workload.
Mostly at intersections, maybe to cut down the banks a little
bit. They're at the intersections. There's issues there that we're working at, but also when you get through rural sections where you've cut through a hillside where there's not a lot of room, or if there's a lot of wind and just a lot of drifting in areas where you got a bank that's 8-10 feet high, you know, you got to start cutting that down and getting it out of there. And at this point, I mean, we've had enough winter and and cold weather where that snow that's been there for a while is not going to be – it's not friendly on the equipment as far as a plow, and it can definitely – that stuff can take a toll on your winter maintenance equipment if you try to get in there and really start pushing on it too much and all that. So.
I wouldn't have even known. And I'll ask Jesse, or I'll ask Dan Federley first, and Jesse can chime in too if he'd like. But as far as winter, during winter, what is the most destructive force? I mean, as far as for the road, what harms it the most? Is it like cold? Is it the plowing, salt, or is it water?
Well, in the wintertime, it's actually the least destructive because it's all frozen, so you can carry the loads. What the problem in Wisconsin, and historically always has been that, it's the freeze-thaw cycle. That's the roadways go through that cycle inevitably. We live here. We know what happens. It freezes in the winter and it thaws in the spring. And as the roads go through that cycle, that's when they're most susceptible to damages. That's why you see roads being posted for weight limits in the spring. They're thawing out. So it's the in terms of the most destructive force, it's that freeze thaw. It's nature taking its toll.
And Jesse, what about there's a road here in Eau Claire that's near the airport. I'm not going to name it, but you obviously have nothing to do with it, but it's got these awful ridges that form during the winter. I think it's called frost heaves. I mean, does that kind of thing happen on your highway systems?
Yeah, that's something that can happen typically too, and to some degree that can depend on the underlying subsoils that are underneath that road, and okay. Also, you know, there's contributing factors of the amount of moisture or cracking of the roadway and moisture that's in there that's freezing and obviously expanding and causing problems. So definitely, as Dan was saying, the springtime is definitely when roads are most susceptible, and in the winter, when everything's froze, everything's okay. But when things start to melt or melt and freeze and melt and freeze, you get that liquid, in every crack that's in the roadway. That's where the water finds its way, and then it refreezes, and you start getting, blowouts or potholes that are popping out, and trying to keep materials stay in potholes, because if you ride around this time of year,
it doesn't stay in for very long.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get material to stay in, just with the fact of you got a snowfall, you're clearing that off, you get some liquid in there, it freezes, it expands.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I see on Facebook a lot of people complaining about how it seems like their street or their road, county road to their house, is the last one that possibly gets plowed. Is this something that you guys get calls on forever and always will forever?
I would think so, yeah, definitely. I mean, the public, and it's, they have the ability to have their opinion. And, we try to do things in a, we review how we're plowing to try to address the needs of the traveling public. And that may not fit somebody's individual schedule or
sure.
plan. But definitely there's... a lot of opinions out there on the performance of our winter crews. But like I said, I think for the most part, our guys work really hard and do a real good job out there.
When the thing that happens in winter maintenance is that the individuals are looking at everything from their individual perspective, and that is the timing of the storm, the mm-hmm. amount of snow they're getting, what's happening outside their door at that point in time, whereas the county is looking at it from a countywide perspective. And so largely the biggest impact is just the timing of the activities. In some cases, somebody, they can look out and say, well, it's not even snowing here. Why aren't you here taking care of stuff when the other side of the county is in blizzard conditions and they're doing everything they can just to keep roads open. So they
sure.
don't have as broad a perspective as what the people at the county doing the managing of the operation have.
I'm sure we could spend more time talking about the weather here, but Dan Barr, I want to go to you. And you told me as I was getting guests wrangled for this program that Wisconsin is unique in how it works with local governments to keep state and local roads maintained. How does that relationship work, and how is it different than, say, our neighbors to the west in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. In Wisconsin, the counties, the county highway departments provide all of the maintenance work, and there's all sorts of different functions that they perform through maintenance, but you just talked about snow plowing and winter maintenance activities. There's also other activities they perform, pothole filling, some striping, crack filling, things like that, in maintaining the state highway system and the interstate system. Counties do that through an arrangement known as RMAs, or routine maintenance agreements, that each county signs with the DOT. And through those agreements, then there's funding that's appropriated through the state legislature, signed into law by the governor. It's one of the things that we advocate for at the Counties Association, and also in partnership with the Wisconsin County Highway Association and Dan Fairley. We always are advocating for support for the state system as well, because it's something that counties provide. And so it's different from other states in this way. In Minnesota, you go on a state highway, and what you'll find is that the Minnesota Department of Transportation, you'll see the truck, and on the side of the truck is the little label, and it'll say MnDOT, and maybe they'll, you know. In Wisconsin, you'll go on the state highway or the interstate system, and you'll see the county trucks out there providing the maintenance. So that's a unique situation in Wisconsin, as opposed to many other states, most other states, if not all, where Wisconsin's counties provide the state highway maintenance and winter maintenance on the state system and interstate system.
And you know, what's the advantage to that? Why do we use that instead of getting a bunch of WisDOT trucks up and down I-94?
Well, I think this. I think it regionalizes the process. It ensures that you do, in each county, you have kind of a go-to operation where they can respond quickly. 72 different counties and throughout the state, they're able to respond quickly to the maintenance needs, to the winter activity that's out there, whatever it might be, if there's a blowout on the road or anything that the public demands a response to, the county can be there quickly. Now, in other states, of course, there are different stations set up, but the county system is unique and diverse and spread out throughout the state and able to deal with the different functions, as the state is very diverse and the state highway system is diverse. They're able to respond quickly and deal with different functions out there that are unique to their county. And so I think that system serves us well in Wisconsin. It's a very efficient cost-saving mechanism in our state, and it has served us very well. I know that recently the Wisconsin Transportation Policy and Finance Commission looked at different mechanisms for winter maintenance and for maintenance on the state highway system. And one of the things that they looked at was the relationships between the county and the state. And they decided to continue on or to continue to support this system where the counties do provide the maintenance for the state. That really is the best mechanism for delivering service in terms of state highway maintenance.
Dan Federley, question. I mean, at this point, are we kind of stuck with it, whether it's the best or not? Because it would seem like it would cost a lot of money to all of a sudden have the state DOT have a bunch of garages and trucks up and down the line.
Yeah, that's the other advantage is that it's a consolidation of services. Okay. As you look at government today in many areas, one of the big discussions is consolidation of services. Can we consolidate in highways? We've done that. In fact, the Wisconsin County Highway Association celebrated 100 years in 2011. Hmm. So we've got a long history of providing this service, this cooperation, working with the state. The other savings aspect is just as you pointed out, Rich. You know, in Jesse's case, he's got garages that house both his county trucks and his state trucks. He doesn't have a state garage and a county garage. You also save it in resources in terms of management. Hmm. He's got management personnel that are looking over and overseeing the operations, coordinating those operations on the state and the county, so he doesn't have separate people looking at separate areas. So you have that whole consolidation. Are we stuck with it? I don't know that we're stuck with it. It's something that we've looked at time and time again through the legislature. As Dan indicated, the Finance and Policy Commission looked at it again. It regularly and consistently comes out to be the best option. Many of our states, neighboring states, look to replicate us in certain aspects. Our friends to the east in Michigan do some portions of this. We are the only state in the nation that has a complete system where the counties take care of all of the state highways in the state.
What about challenges? Are there any unique challenges that come with this unique arrangement?
Funding. funding has always been a challenge over the years. Obviously, we have to work with the DOT. They still are the administrators and still have the authority on the, on their system, the state highways in the state. And we regularly try to coordinate with them. You get different perspectives, different priorities, different needs. And so subsequently, funding has always been an issue. This last legislature, the administration and the legislature saw fit to put significant increase in state trunk highway maintenance funding.
About and $55
million? Yeah, $52.5 million. And that's in the second year of the biennium, so they're not seeing that at this point yet. But when that does come into place, that's one of the first increases of any significance in the 30 years that I've been doing this. And so it puts us at a level that is that is replicated by our level of service model. So we're at a minimum level of service, and that's that increase, although it sounds like a lot of a big increase, only gets us back to where we ought to have been to start with. And so we hope that's going to help significantly. We're looking forward to it. We're working with the DOT to set priorities, and that's going to be seen as it gets put in place. Now, obviously, you take Jesse's numbers for January and you apply that statewide, mm-hmm. you can see how big a numbers that gets real quickly when you start applying that on a statewide basis.
Right. Well, we've got a couple calls. I want to go first to Menominee, and Nancy's on the line. She's got a question about truck braking or Jake braking, and this one is going to be for Jesse. But you're on the air there, Nancy. Thank you so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much for having me. My question is, I have noticed an increase in the use of Jake brakes on County Road BB and 25 between Wheeler and Menominee. This has been increasing over the last year, and it is constant. I mean, I start hearing them very early in the morning, and it goes through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work at home, I mean, I'm in the house with windows closed, and I could hear them on the county road, and I live all the way in the town of Tainter. And I'd like to know what I could do or what can be done, what mechanism put in place, or who do I call, because I really think that this needs to be controlled. I can't be the only person in the world hearing them unless there's something wrong with me. But my husband and I counted the other day, 11 between the hours of 8 and 10 Jake braking trucks, just where they just drag that brake for as long as they possibly can, and it is just infuriating.
All right, Nancy, thanks so much for the question. Jesse, anything can be done about Jake brakes? I've seen signs that say no engine braking, but that's within certain circumstances, right?
Yeah, it depends on the roadway you're looking at as far as enforcing those. I mean, those signs can be erected, depending on the location. You know, if the township that we're talking about is if that's something they want to pursue, and go through the process to approve erecting those signs, you know, that'd be something that that the highway, the county highway, department can look at and discuss as well. So it's something that can be looked at and reviewed.
All right.
How do I get in contact to do this with? I mean, how do I go about this? Because I could get like about 50 signatures in 2 minutes if I needed to. I'm sure that, I just need to know who could put this in place.
You can just call the County Highway Department office there, and we'll get you started in the right direction.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Nancy.
Thanks.
The other question is coming from Colfax, and we've got Willem on. This has to do with funding and how the state funds its roads. It's a big chunk of what we're going to be talking about, I'm sure. So, Willem, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi. One of the things I heard was that they, rather than increase the gas tax, the governor decided to take money from the general fund, which means that all the people who use our roads, who pass through our state, aren't sort of contributing to the use of the roads because it's not incorporated into the gas tax. And the other thing that I was concerned about with funding and roads and all that and the political system is that this Senate Bill 349, which had to do with limiting local control, that this bill said that it would limit the amount of It would limit the ability of towns and counties to enter into agreements with non-metallic mining operations and to, as far as road use. And the other thing that's written into this bill is that if there is road damage, the county or the town government would have to prove that the damage was done willfully or intentionally or as a result of an unlawful act. And that seems like it's a law that's specifically written for the sand mining industry and the fact that they don't really want to pay any road use fees. So I think that people have to really be aware of the politics that are involved in road maintenance and fees and the expense of, we all use the roads. It's you know, vital to our economy, but I think the people who use the roads the most should pay the most. That only seems fair.
All right, Willem, thank you so much. And I'll break that up into two chunks. SB 349, that's one of the bills that's been introduced. Kind of, the authors kind of backpedaled a little bit, say they're going to take another look at it. But first I'll go to you, Dan Federley. What about the SB 349? It has to do with local control over sand mining and other industries as well. And road use is a part of that. Is it true that this bill, as written, would kind of take the ability for a county or a town maybe to charge a road user fee?
The original draft, as written, certainly had some had implied that it would limit the ability of local governments to enter into some agreements that they currently have the ability to do so. We've been working through the Highway Association and with my friend Dan Barr at the Counties Association. We've been working pretty diligently on this and believe that in terms of the roadways, we believe we've addressed many of the issues, and I think that anything that we see coming out here in relation to that will have some variations in it that maintain local authority, maintain local control, and maintain the ability of the locals to enter into agreements with any high-end user, any user that is above the normal and historic. So although many people have pointed it as frac sand, we apply that evenly across the different industries, whether it be big distribution centers or whatever the case may be. The key is to apply those parameters, those criteria consistently to all users, and that those users who are beyond the normal and historic pay their share without the public having to pay that.
And Dan Barr, you guys have had some success with speaking with Tom Tiffany's office as
Correct. You know, I would just comment when the bill first came out, maybe in October, I would say, when we first got wind of it. It was introduced as a co-sponsorship memo in the legislature, and you talk about those road use agreements. There were certainly some things we had concerns with. What we did is we reached out to some of the leadership within the Wisconsin County Highway Association, and we came up with a team. And I want to mention that Dan Federley helped lead that team, along with Bruce Stelzner out of Chippewa County, and also Emmer Shields from Ashland County. They're some of the senior highway commissioners in the state. All three have been commissioners. Dan's the executive director of the association representing the commissioners, and we had discussions on some of the areas we felt were problematic with SB 349 as it relates to the road use agreements. And as Dan mentioned, I think one of the things we were able to sort out is the need to have some of the operations, regardless of the activity performed, address the additional cost for extraordinary maintenance. Extraordinary maintenance being maintenance beyond the parameters of what is routine maintenance. And so I think that's something, as we've had our discussions with Senator Tiffany and Representative Ballwig and their staff and their office, we've had a pretty good outing with them. We've had pretty candid back and forth discussions. They were pretty open. We also were able to visit with some of the proponents of the bill who feel at times that they've been singled out or treated unfairly because they're the frac sand industry, and you're up there in frac sand country up in western Wisconsin, so you know some of the citizens have concerns, and some folks up there have different views on how the industry should be handled. And I think through our discussions with people on both sides of the issue, we've kind of found some common ground. And as we move forward, we're coming to the end of the legislative session. I expect to see new language and language that better reflects where both sides are, sort of a middle ground. But in terms of the use of the highways for the frac sand industry or any industry that conducts what we know as extraordinary maintenance, you'll have some potential parameters that could be put into law that would better define the roles that need to be addressed.
All right. Let's take our first break here, gentlemen. And we're almost three-quarters of the through with the program. We haven't even gotten to the meat yet. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about gas tax and why it's not really living up to its expectations as far as paying for road maintenance. This is the West Side. We're talking about county highways and the job that they've got in keeping almost all of our roads clean. And I should say, okay, state highways, interstates, and county roads as well, county highways. I'm joined by Dan Federle. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. Jesse Rintala is Dunn County's highway commissioner, and Dan Barr is a government affairs director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. This is the West Side. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side. We're talking about county highway departments this hour and the job they've got in clearing and maintaining our state highways, our interstates, our county highways, and county roads, also some local township roads as well. Joining me for the discussion, we've got Dan Barr on the phone from his office in Madison. He's the Government Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. Dan Federle is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. And Jesse Rintala is the Dunn County Highway Commissioner. If you want to give a call and ask a question of our panel, the number is 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Following up Dan Barr on a question that Willem and Colfax just basically posed for us. It was a two-parter. We addressed the first part. Gas tax. Willem says that it's not enough to pay for the maintenance that we need to have on our highways. Is that true? Is that gas tax dwindling, and why?
Absolutely, I think he's absolutely right. So in Wisconsin, the two main forms of payment into the transportation fund are out of your user fees, the gas tax and the vehicle registration fee. Mm-hmm. The gas tax is sort of a stagnant source of revenue. The source is stagnant, but the cost, obviously, with maintaining the roads and reconstructing the roads is rising. It's stagnant for a couple of reasons, fuel-efficient vehicles being one. The recession recently caused a lot of people to drive less travel, less trips. Economic conditions play a factor. Also, there was gas indexing that had been done away with back in 2005-06. So that also has an impact on the flow of money coming into the transportation fund. And so it is important when we think about that transportation fund that the gas tax is stagnant. Vehicle registration fees are relatively stagnant. There's not been a huge increase or fluctuation upward in those. And so yet the cost to maintain the highways and to address repair of the highways continues to rise. And so we have a real problem. I think it's something that going into future legislative sessions that the current legislative leadership in both parties is pretty serious about looking at and finding a solution for.
Dan Federle, in 2011 there was a state task force that came out with a study with some recommendations for improving transportation fund, the solvency of it. One of the suggestions was raising the state's gas tax by 5 cents, and Republicans and Governor Walker refused flatly. Why is it such an issue? I know taxes are a big issue, and it gets a lot of people upset when you even mention the word, but why is that such a hot potato that it doesn't seem any politician wants to touch raising the gas tax?
Well, I think that we can look at that from Wisconsin's perspective, but it's the same at the national level. Gas prices are something that's the everyday conversation of the public. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you look at increasing a gas tax, it generates a great deal of conversation. It's important to note also, and I find through the discussions both here in Wisconsin and across the nation, that in terms of gas tax, people very quickly equate it to when they pay tax at the store when they go get groceries or go get whatever they get a sales tax. Mm-hmm. The gas tax is a set amount. It's been the same amount since 1992 in Wisconsin. There's been no increases. It's not because gas price, and I can assure you gas prices in 1992 are not what they are today.
Yeah.
Because gas prices rose, the gas tax did not increase. It's been the same through that whole period of time. So it's important for people to understand the basis. It's a set amount. And then as soon as you talk about increasing it, the first thing that I think people do, and it's a natural tendency, is to remember how much they paid for gas the last time they filled their car up.
Sure.
And that's why it becomes a difficult discussion. Although it should be two separate discussions, it becomes a difficult discussion. I think the other thing that we need to recognize in relation to gas tax is there's a reluctance to raise the gas tax as a reluctance to raise any tax. But there's also a reluctance because although it's a mechanism that's in place and it's something that I believe we need to do in order to stabilize the fund so that we can begin looking at alternatives, because the gas tax is not the long-term solution. More fuel-efficient cars, we should be encouraging alternative fuels, we should be doing all that, all of which, when we start talking about electric cars, for example, they pay no gas tax.
Right.
And so we need to look at alternative methods to fund the highways. And that's one of the reluctance that the legislature has, is they also know it is not the long-term solution.
So then as far as the Wisconsin County Highways Association, what is the solution? What is the silver bullet?
I think the thing that I talk about regularly here and in Washington is there's not a silver bullet. I think we need to accept that. The solution is a cafe approach to all of the above. So stabilizing, increasing the gas tax, stabilize the discussion so we're not in a crisis mode. Then you can have much better discussions with the legislature if you're not in crisis mode. So the first step is stabilize. Let's increase it. Let's get stable. The next step is to look at the registration fees, which is another big area in Wisconsin. And then we need to look at alternatives, whether those alternatives are vehicle miles traveled, whether they're tolling, all of which can be very, very hot button political issues.
Yeah.
But the silver bullet, so to speak, is a combination of all of those above. That's how we will achieve long-term sustainability in transportation funding in Wisconsin.
Now, Dan Barr, I'm kind of mixing the state and federal levels here, but I remember reading a piece that I believe you wrote, or that the Counties Association put out anyway,
sure,
saying that, you know, the feds have to come to grips with this gas tax issue. Otherwise, they should get out of the way, and they should free up some of the restrictions on things like toll roads. So, I mean, are you guys, is WCA advocating for more toll roads or just for more freedom to do what you would?
Well, certainly we would like to see more freedom. But and again, it's a lot like what Dan had just commented on. I think it's important that we have a marketplace of ideas in terms of this discussion. You know, there is no silver bullet. I think Governor Walker and other legislative leaders have floated different ideas. One of those has been toll roads. The Wisconsin Transportation Finance and Policy Commission gave a series of recommendations in terms of the VMT, the vehicle miles traveled, the gas tax, indexing, increasing the vehicle registration fee, whatever it might be. Yeah, sure. If the solution that one of the solutions that the legislature and the governor came out with was for toll roads, sure, we're very open to that. But I think we're open to some of the other suggestions as well. And I think that stabilization for the transportation fund and all of the programs it supports is really what we're looking for, as Dan mentioned. And furthermore, it's not easy for these guys. I understand if you're running for office, you don't want to be the guy that votes for a gas tax increase or votes to raise someone's vehicle registration fees or starts to study the VMT or says, hey, we got to have a few toll roads. That's understandable. But we have a real problem here with increasing costs to fix the roads, to maintain them for road construction, and then the stagnation of these revenue sources. You know, the gap is widening. We have to have a solution. And so what I would say to the politicians out there is I understand it's difficult, but, you know, you're elected to solve problems as well. So are we advocating for toll roads? Sure, we're advocating for a solution, and we're open to any solution out there.
Right. With that, listeners, you can give a call in and chime in on this discussion. We're talking about county highway departments and the challenges that they face in keeping our roads maintained and clean. The number is 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. And Dan Federle, as you had mentioned, the governor did put some more money in the state budget, but there was a lot of consternation about how that money found its way into the transportation budget from the general fund. That seems like kind of a is that a short-sighted kind of a short-term solution to this growing issue that we have with the gas tax?
Well, I think it was a solution certainly for this budget. In reality, what it was is there had been a number of transfers out of the transportation fund into the general fund in previous budgets. So this was, if you will, simply a paying back of the money that was taken out. Now, having said that, is it a long-term solution? No, absolutely not. We have a lot of needs in the state of Wisconsin, and they're not all transportation, obviously. We have a lot of important important things that we have to look at in Wisconsin. That's why we feel it's absolutely critical to look at other revenue sources, other ways to generate revenue. And it's also why the counties, the County Highway Association, have supported the upcoming constitutional amendment, which will be on the will be up in November for the public. And that simply says if we can come up with other sources of revenue for transportation, dedicated user fees, when we go to the public and we say we're going to tax you for transportation purposes, then the constitutional amendment ensures that that money gets spent for those transportation purposes. I believe if we can go to the people and say we're going to tax you this much and this is what we're going to spend it on, the people can support that.
That's an easier pill to swallow, basically.
Yes.
And that's in reaction to what, you know, Governor Walker mentioned a lot about a fund raid that happened under the previous administration, Jim Doyle's administration. They took something like $1 billion out of the transportation fund and moved it over. I mean, I know that's a political speech that he was giving, but is that the gist of the problem?
Well, any time you get into the state budget and that large in numbers, it depends on whose numbers you're looking at and how you add them up in the accountant's view and when did it happen. But generally speaking, yes, there was transfers out of the transportation fund to other programs over the course of a number of budgets. Mm-hmm. And so then this legislature and this administration saw fit to put that back into transportation as one of their priority areas.
Now, this is all very, I mean, it's very top level, very big kind of thing. It's hard to grasp. Jesse Rintala, how does this all boil down to your local budget as far as, you know, the governor kicking in some extra money? Does that mean you're going to get some extra cha-ching in the cash drawer at the County Highway Department?
Basically, we're looking to get an increase in state maintenance or RMA dollars here next year. Obviously, the counties, most counties are running calendar year budgets. The state's budget is, you know, the June 30th to July 1st. So it's kind of an offset cycle with what the state's doing. But there's going to be additional funds for county highways to do additional maintenance work on the state roads.
Okay. And what kind of additional maintenance work? I mean, have you been having to put off things in order to keep the coffers in check?
Yeah, there's definitely things that have been cut back on and talked about. You know, going forward, there's efforts, and this year there should be some pilot projects for performance-based maintenance, basically going away from the traditional time and material type of contract that we operate with the DOT today to more of an agreed unit price. You know, we crack fill, you know, 1,000 feet for X amount of dollars per foot, and that's what the DOT you know will be paying us for. You know, that's going to create a situation where there's I guess there's clarity on what's you know what's being performed and accountability on, you know, this is the work that was performed at this cost, and not necessarily the time and material scenario that we're doing all of our maintenance on in today's
We've identified with the DOT three primary areas, crack filling being one, yeah. Shouldering being another, and bridge maintenance being a third. Those areas, based on the DOT's compass evaluations, based on the county commissioners, Jesse and his counterparts across the state, those are the areas that have been long put off with lack of maintenance. And so we're concentrating on those to catch up and kind of get the backlog taken care of. That's part of what the $52.5 million is designed to do, so we can get Wisconsin's maintenance back at a position where we can continue to maintain through the future.
With that, let's take our final break. We're talking about county highway departments and the roads that they maintain, much more than you might think. The counties are responsible for some local town roads, county highways, state highways, and interstates, because Wisconsin has a unique model in the nation for how it contracts that kind of work out. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We're getting close to the top of the hour, but we should be able to take a call or two. I'm joined by Dan Federle, Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association, Jesse Rintala, Dunn County Highway Commissioner, and Dan Barr, Government Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in this Monday morning. We're talking about county highways, and I'm joined by Dan Federle. He's the Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. Dan Barr is the Government Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. And Jesse Rintala is the Dunn County Highway Commissioner. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. And Dan Federle, we've already mentioned a couple bills that are up before the legislature. The one, it's not so much a bill, but a constitutional amendment that folks are going to vote on in November, are likely to anyway. Also, as Senate Bill 349, which has gone kind of didn't really go anywhere, and it's about to probably will be reintroduced maybe this session. But what are some of the other bills, some of the other big deals that are facing county highway departments? You mentioned something about implements of husbandry. First of all, that is a crazy term. I've never heard of it before. But what does it mean, and what are you getting at?
Implements of husbandry are basically the ag equipment, which is, as you would guess, a made impact across the state of Wisconsin. And certainly we've spent the last year and a half, Department of Transportation put together a task force. I had the opportunity to represent the counties on that task force, and we looked at implements of husbandry and specific their interaction or use of the public roadways. Some things that precipitated that is we were getting a lot of pressure for overweight hauling, the manure hauling, agricultural products, et cetera, et cetera. But then the other thing that precipitated much of it is and I'm sure Jesse would tell you, get a lot more complaints with the equipment has just gotten much larger.
Oh, my gosh.
Much wider. And when you get out on the rural roadways, we've had several people who have been very concerned about that as they've met some of this equipment or had interaction with the equipment. So this is, as you can imagine, a very, very difficult issue, many different priorities. But we were able over the course of that year and a half of task force meetings and then also discussions with Senator Petrowski and Chairman Ripp, the chairs of the transportation committees, they developed legislation that we believe is a compromise legislation. It's not what everybody wants. In fact, it's probably the way it sounds here lately, not what anybody wants, and it's probably what makes it a good piece of compromise legislation.
Oh, isn't it funny how it works that way? we're talking about earlier, we were talking about heavy users like industrial sand companies, and counties are able to, or towns are able to have these agreements where they agree to pay for it. What about the ag industry? I mean, they're a heavy user of the road, aren't they?
Absolutely, and many of the same parameters apply to the ag industry when you get to the big users. And I think when you get to the big users, that happens. There are agreements, there are conditions worked out, costs associated with use, et cetera. It's Wisconsin is still largely an agricultural state, mm-hmm. and so it's the everyday users. You know, the ones that have used that same roadway for the last 100 years. And the difference now is they're using the same roadway with much larger equipment.
And Dan Barr, we're very short on time, but I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that people should keep an eye on as far as road maintenance, county highways, state highways? I mean, what's at the state level, what's one of the big issues facing transportation right now, aside from funding, which is always the big issue?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've been working on is defining the roles between private industry and between what local governments and counties do with their highway departments. We've worked on a memorandum of understanding that I think has gone a long way towards defining those roles, and I think private industry is happy with that, as are we for the most part, of course. I think it's a step in the right direction. So those are one of the major issues we've been working on. And also the partnership between DOT and the county highway departments, performance-based maintenance is an issue that a lot of our commissioners are adjusting to and dealing with now. It's one of the agreements through the MOU and through the increased funding for state highway maintenance that we've agreed to take on. And things are going to be assessed on a performance-based level. It's moving forward, and I think our partnership with DOT and working that out and adjusting and making changes to try to serve the public in the best method possible is really the goal there. And so it's something that we are taking on to try to be more efficient and to better serve the public.
Wow, I put you on the spot. You've got a lot out there in a short amount of time. Gentlemen, thank you so much for the discussion. Dan Federle is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association.
Thank you.
And Jesse Rintala, Dunn County Highway Commissioner. And Dan Barr is the Government Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Counties Association. If you missed part of the program or would like to listen again, check out our audio archives. We'll upload the program on WPR.org just after the show. Also, a big thanks to Team Westside for helping out. That includes Mr. Henry Lippold for producing the program, Mort Cypress for handling on-air production, and Tiffany Coggins for promotions, and Dean Kallenbeck for keeping the ducks in a row. Next week, we're going to be talking about drinking local, that is the microbrewery, microdistillery, and microwinery movement that's taking hold here in Wisconsin and western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a good week. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.